fill right into the phone script. I know this has taken the country by storm. If you haven't heard of it, that's a surprise. Because we've just been bombarded with calls and emails about getting the script, and now we do train on it. And like Heather said, anyone who hasn't been through the new training would like to teleconference into it. We're coming to the office on Thursdays. It's from noon to 3 Central Standard Time. Just let me know that you want to get on there so that we can make sure we have enough roster spots on the teleconference. But basically, and by the way, guys, I use an appointment setter, but I have the appointment setter use the same phone script. So just going from the phone script, this is what Ralph Simpson told me. Hi, Bob. This is Jason Bruno with the Mortgage Protection Group. I'm calling in regards to the letter that we mailed you concerning your mortgage with Washington Mutual. You mailed it back to us, and we received it today. I'm the agent that works in your area, and I can meet with you between 6 and 7 tomorrow, or on Saturday morning between 10 and 11. Which one works better for you? Okay? I paused there because there it is, folks. Secrets out. 30 seconds. I mean, I don't even think that was 30 seconds. I'm not timing myself, but... Hi, client. This is Jason Bruno. I'm calling in regards to the letter we sent you about your mortgage with Washington Mutual. I'm the agent that works in your area, and I'm going to be available tomorrow between 6 and 7 or Saturday morning between... Or actually, that would be Friday morning between 9 and 10. Okay? And that's how we booked the appointment. It was direct, straight to the point. And after the appointment is booked, I do ask one more thing, Bob. Are you on any medications for anything? I like asking for medications because a lot of folks will tell me that there's not any problem. Tell the appointment setter that there is no problem with their health. Typically, we can catch that if they'll tell us they're on medications. So, and you still want to book, or at least as much as you can. I know some of us that are going out of town, we kind of book a little bit farther out than 48 hours, but ideally, if you can, you want to book that appointment within 24 to 48 hours. I don't think it gets any simpler than that. I don't go through the whole client qualification sheet. I don't really try, I don't at all, actually. We don't tie them down for the check. And if I don't get all the medical conditions, that's okay. If I don't get any, that's okay. Because this is what I got from Ralph and, of course, from Todd and Fitz, is we have products that can cover anybody. So go out to the house and just see as many folks as you can. That's kind of how my mentality has changed since I've used the simplistic system and having that lunch day with Ralph. You know that 95% of the objections that you're going to come up against are created by something that we say or that we ask. And what I mean by that is if we're on the phone asking, so Bob, what were you trying to accomplish when you sent this in? Well, I was trying to accomplish getting some price quotes. Okay, that's an objection. Or, Bob, what were you looking to do when you sent this in? Well, I just wanted some more information. Oh, okay. Okay. See, when we ask questions to me, and that's why I ask no questions, the only question I ask is in the appointment, what is your Social Security number, and who do you want to leave this to when you die? Those are the two questions I ask. But what happens if you do get someone who says, I just want some more info. Just mail it to me. Well, you see, Bob, I did mail it to you. I mailed you the info. That's the plan. You read it, looked it over. It obviously piqued your interest. You mailed it back. Now, I'm going to be in the area tomorrow between 7 and 8 p.m. or on Friday between 10 and 12 in the morning. Which one works better for you? Okay? And just have that control. set the appointment. You can get directions if you want to. Typically, I don't anymore. I just MapQuest my appointments that are just set the appointments, and I go see folks. Okay? Sometimes I show up 1 hour early. People don't know the difference. Just go see them. Okay? I had, this past weekend, Heather mentioned I went to Memphis. My appointments that are booked, 13 appointments using this script. Out of the 13 appointments, two of them no-showed me. So I saw 11 folks, and I closed 8 of those 11 deals. And for every one of them, I was early. Nobody cared. Nobody even noticed what time it was. And once we got into the home, and I'm going to go over that now, going over the in-home presentation. Of course, introduce yourself. Hi, Bob, I'm Jason Bruno. We spoke on the phone, or we have an appointment at 11:30 today. Sure, come on in. Well, I tell you, this is a lovely home. And if they don't have a lovely home, say, wow, this is a great neighborhood. And if they live in a crappy neighborhood, find something in the house to compliment them on. Are these your kids? These your grandbabies? Oh, gosh, they're precious. They are precious. Okay, find something in the home that you can compliment them on, help them feel good. Like Philip always said, treat everybody like they got a sign. Make me feel special today. When we sit down with the folks, kneecap to kneecap, at the kitchen table, still do that. And I put the lead. I put the lead that they sent back in right in front of them. And I say, folks, here's the reason I've come to be here today. Okay? We mailed you the information about the plan. You read it over. You liked what you saw, apparently, because you filled it in and you mailed it back to us. Okay? My job today is to explain the benefits to you and find out how this plan is going to suit your situation and find the pricing option that's going to fit the budget as well. Okay? Once we do that, we can move forward with a request for coverage. Alrighty? And I just go through the lead. The very first paragraph in the lead says, because you just bought a new home, Bob and Mary, you can qualify, you can qualify for this plan without having to go through a medical exam. Holy cow. Do you know how huge that is, Bob? I'm excited when I read that, Mary, because that means no one's going to stick me with a needle, and no one's going to ask me to give them a urine sample in a cup. And let me tell you why I think, because folks hear that and they don't think it's a big deal. Oh, it's just a needle. It's just a urine sample. Yeah, you're right, Mary, but you know what? When an insurance company is going to do that lab test, they're not just going to wait and see what comes up. They go digging, and they'll find stuff, okay? So we're looking for something that's going to keep the house and the family for as long as possible, possibly even forever. This is meant to go through fast. And by not having to take a medical exam and look for some things, we're going to get this done fast, okay? Now, the death benefit of $100,000 is designed to stay level whether something happens to Bob next week or in the 29th year, in the 11th month of your mortgage, it's still going to be the same benefit. Okay? That is very different from other mortgage plans out there because they want to decrease the benefit as time goes by. The only thing they won't decrease is your monthly payment. Okay? And for me, I got this plan for my family, you know, for my wife and I. That didn't make much sense financially. So, just know, Bob and Mary, it's a level benefit, $100,000, any cause of death. The disability wants to make your house payment for up to 2 years if either one of you can't work because you're injured or ill. That's typically where I get raised eyebrows. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? If you can't perform your job function for which you've been properly trained and educated and you're deemed disabled, then after a 90-day waiting period, we should receive benefits. What I like about the plan, Bob and Mary, is that not only are we going to make your house payment for up to 2 years if it's necessary, but after 6 months of being disabled, the company is going to waive the premium for you for your coverage. You're not going to have to pay it again until you're better, or you may not even have to pay it again. But then the company is going to pay you back some money for the 6 months you did lay out for while you were disabled. Man, people love that part. I've gotten such a good response on that, it's unreal. Because you see, Mary, Bob, when a company wants to give me money back, I'm okay with that. And I usually get a chuckle, yeah. Okay, now just following down the bullets, Bob and Mary, unemployment. You know, we understand that if you get become unemployed, all right, you're probably going to lose your benefits at work. We don't think you should lose your benefits with us. So if you become unemployed unwillingly, you can't quit now. But if you become unemployed unwilling, fired, laid off, whatever they're calling it today, the company, after the first month of your unemployment, is going to pick up the premium for the next 6 months in an effort that you'll hopefully have another position and you can pick up the premiums again in 6 months. Again, people, through the whole presentation, people just have raised eyebrows. I don't know about everybody else's presentation, but man, oh man, it's just so exciting to see people actually getting it when you're going through. And then lastly, Bob and Mary, my favorite part of the whole thing, because I have to talk about death and disability all day long, it's kind of a downer. If you'll just outlive the plan and not have to have your wife receive benefits, just outlive the plan, the company will give you all your money back. And then they go from raised eyebrows to one raised and one crooked, you know, when they kind of like, what you talking about, Willis? That's typically what I get on that one. And I say, I know, it's not typical to hear about a company wanting to give you all your money back, or any money back. But if you outlive the plan, Bob and Mary, that's what the company's going to do. They're not going to penalize you for living. Okay? So now what I'm going to do, and I don't ask, does that make sense? Is that clear? Do I need to explain anything? If they need it explained again, they will definitely ask me. Again, I don't ask any questions. What I'm going to do, Bob and Mary, is now I'm going to put the plan together just like we talked about it right here on the sheet, okay? It's going to have all the bells and whistles. Some like to call it the Mercedes-Benz, okay, of mortgage protection. I'm going to put it together. I'm going to give you each a premium on a monthly basis. And understand that this is the most expensive that the plan will be. All right? If it works, great. We'll move forward. If it doesn't work, you know, because I don't know your budget, just let me know. Anything we do to the plan is going to just bring the premium cost down. See, that lets them know, to me, in my mind, that's kind of Phillips think about it. That's how I equate it. They now know that if the highest price one doesn't work, they've got a way to keep the coverage, but we're willing to work with them and make it fit in their budget. So they don't have to say, well, we like that, but we need to think about it. Because think about it means they can't afford it. Okay? So I put the plan together. Bob, it's $65, all the bells and whistles. Mary, you're a little bit younger. It's 48. Now, typically what I do, folks, is I make you guys, Bob and Mary, I make each other the beneficiary, okay? And you guys need to decide if something were to happen to both of you at the same time, if there would be a contingent. Is there someone designated that would take care of the kids or you would entrust the money to so that, you know, the kids still had a place to live? While they're thinking about that, because I just told them what they need to think about, while they're thinking about that, I flip open the applications that are already on the table, so they've been there the whole time, by the way. And I say, now, Bob, your beneficiary, your primary beneficiary is going to be Mary. Mary's their middle initial. And she tells me, Bob, what is your Social Security number? And he tells me. And from there, folks, it's just asking them the information, and they will follow. Very seldom do I have an objection once I get to the application. That's what I was telling Fitz last night. I love doing this because it's just one fluid movement all the way through. I may have kind of chopped it up on this call, on this phone call. Thankfully, with Fitz asked me to record it, so. But it's just one fluid movement, and I don't have anybody saying, "Well, what about this?" or "What about all these other cornball excuses that they're trying to weasel out of getting coverage?" Because we're leading them to the right end. The right end is for them to be covered. Assume the sale, go right into the application, have them sitting there on the table. Okay, I even have it where people can see the checks from the last appointments and the applications. They can see those sticking out of my portfolio. I want them to know that they're not the only ones I'm helping today, and that they have peace of mind that, look at all those apps in there. Look at all those checks that people have written in today. I want them to feel better about that. So, Heather, that's really about it for the in-home presentation. I didn't know, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. I didn't know if I may have skipped over something because I'm kind of wired. I'm getting excited just talking about it. Wishing I was going out of town this weekend, too.
Well, I mean, as you can see, it's a very much an assumptive close, right? I mean, and you talked quite a bit about that. And the thing is, they're sending in this lead car already asking for coverage, so
right. We
shouldn't be calling them back asking them if they need coverage.
Right.
And that's really the beauty of this system. And I love it, like you said earlier, about how, you know, if somebody says, "Well, send me info," you go, "Well, we already sent you
right. Info,
and you sent it back." That's why I'm calling you.
Exactly. And like Mary Rittner has been saying, for you guys that aren't in Dallas and can attend our sales meeting, Mary Rittner, her name was on the leaderboard that Heather just went over a few minutes ago. Mary Rittner says, sell them what they inquired about. They sent the lead back in for mortgage protection. Go sell it to them. And it's amazing how that's what my mindset is now. And that's what I'm doing. I'm not calling to find out if they want protection. I'm going over there to make sure that they get it.
Right. Well, and it doesn't take very long to go over because, as you can see, it's not a real, like we said, it's a very simple system.
It is.
So let's open up the call and take some questions. How does that sound?
Sure, that'll work.
All right, I'm going to open up and mute. All right, we got a little bit of background noise. Hopefully we can
we'll punch through it.
To a minimal, do we have any questions? Jason?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. I can hear you.
We can't hear you very well, Jason. Can you hear me?
I can hear everybody.
Okay. Go ahead and ask the question, and then I'll mute back out for him to answer.
Okay.
Maybe
ma'am?
Not. Okay, so was there a question?
Hey, Jason.
Yes.
It's Kathy Bale.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey, could you just repeat your first introductory comment that you do when you say, "Hi, Bob, this is Jason Bringo with the Mortgage Protection Group"? I didn't get everything written down.
Sure. It's simply, "Hello, Bob, this is Jason Bruno with the Mortgage Protection Group. I'm calling in regards to the letter that we mailed you concerning your mortgage with ABC Mortgage. You mailed it back to me and I received it today. I'm the agent that works in your area. I can meet with you tomorrow between 6 and 7 or Friday between 12 and 2. Which one works better?" And then once the appointment is set, I know some of the folks don't ask anything, but I do just like to know if they have any prescription meds,
mm-hmm.
just to have an idea. And that's really it. Of course, when you're going out of town, it's really not a 24 to 48 hours. It's a few days longer, but that's still what I have my appointment setter tell folks.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Good deal. Thank you, Kathy.
Mhm. Any other questions?
Bruno.
Yeah, Paul Roberts.
I know. buddy.
All right, man.
Do me a favor and go over how you explain disability and unemployment again. I got about 75% on each one. I really dig that.
Absolutely. Going down the lien sheet, the disability plan, Bob and Mary, is designed so that we actually help you make the mortgage payment for up to 2 years if it's necessary. Okay? Whether that's by injury or illness. See, this isn't one of those hokey accidental policies where the company gets to decide, you know, what's an accident, what's not. Of course, you got to remember, Paul, too, I mean, every appointment might be a little different. So I know this isn't verbatim what I just said, but the point is still the same. And as long as disability to the company, Bob and Mary, means as long as you cannot perform your job function for which you've been properly trained and educated, okay, and you've been deemed disabled, there's a 90-day waiting period. So after that 90 days, we're able to provide the claim to the company and receive benefits, okay? What I really like about the plan is after 6 months of being disabled, okay, the company's going to waive the premium and pay you back those 6 months that you had to put out for the premium while you were disabled. And I don't know about you guys, but anytime a company wants to give me money back, when I'm, you know, I'm all for it. And so far, well, especially this weekend, everyone I said that to, everybody's head was nodding up and down. Yes, absolutely. They thought it was the greatest thing. Now, the unemployment rider, is court, and you, keep this in mind, too, folks. You got to make sure it's available in the state that you're in or that you're going to. That's very important. But the unemployment rider is designed so that if you do become unwillingly unemployed, fired or laid off, whatever you want to call it, you may lose your benefits at your job, but we don't want you to lose your benefits with us. Okay, the company does not want to see that happen. So what they have done is they'll actually, after your first month of being unemployed and you've made that premium like you normally would, they're going to waive the next 6 months of premium in an effort that you'll find a position, and then once those 6 months are up, if you needed the full 6 months, you'd be able to pick up the premiums again on your own. So, again, I don't know, and I tell folks, I don't know of any other company that is offering to pay your premiums for you if you lose your job. How was that, Paul?
Paul?
And something, just while, I'm sorry, go ahead, Paul.
Perfect.
Beautiful.
Thanks.
Love you, man.
Love you too, sugar mother.
Something that I am, and Heather, you may want to correct me publicly if I'm wrong, and that's cool, but at the convention, we heard that F&G was the number one mortgage protector in the United States.
Yes, selling mortgage protection, yes.
Right. And I utilized that completely this weekend. I let everyone know that this company, Fidelity and Guarantee, out of Baltimore, Maryland, has been in business since 1959, is currently the number one mortgage protector in the United States. And I don't know if it helped or not, but I wrote over 10, so I'm not going to say it didn't. So, but anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there because I think you guys can utilize that out in the field. Letting them know that even if I'm dealing, because I had a few appointments where there were guys in before me and there were going to be some folks in after me. And, you know, the two appointments that happened to me on, that they had other appointments set up, they're canceled. Those appointments are now canceled and I've taken care of it. Which makes me feel really good. Really good.
And to clarify, they canceled with the other agent.
I don't feel good when they cancel with me.
Right.
No, they told me that they had two appointments set up next weekend with some other companies, and in fact, in both appointments, the wife was surprised that they were moving with the check. They were actually writing me a check, and she double-checked with the husband. She said, "You want to do this?" And he said, "Absolutely." And she said, "What about the other appointments?" And on two separate appointments, they both said, "I can cancel those." So.
Well, you know, when Bruno called Fitz on Sunday to give him the report of the weekend and how things had gone, Bruno had a couple stories like that that he shared with Fitz. And when Fitz hung up, looked at me and he said, "Wow, Bruno is getting so good, it is scary." And I'm curious if you have pinpointed what you think it is in particular that disarms people. Because obviously in those situations, you've become very exceptional at overcoming objections. And we may want to take some questions about some objections that people are getting. But in particular, I think you've gotten very good at overcoming more challenging situations.
Yeah.
And I would say one of the things that you do really effectively is disarm people. And because you heard a story as well where somebody said, "Well, I'm not writing an application today." And you said, and you had a great response back to that. And, of course, they ended up writing an application.
Sure.
So I was curious what you thought maybe the secret was to turning people around from their initial objections.
I'm not sure if it's one thing. You know, when I go on an appointment, I'm wearing nice shoes, you know, a nice pair of blue jeans, and a nice shirt. And one time Ralph told me, the day that I met with him for lunch, he told me, he said, "Man, you look like a salesman." And I said, "Whoa." I said, "But that's what I am." He said, "People don't want a salesman. They don't need you coming over and pitching it to them. Just go over there and take care of them." So I'm so much more relaxed now that I'm not opposed to wearing a suit and tie, but, you know, frankly, I'm just not into it. But I'm not opposed to dressing sharp, and that's what I do. I still look nice when I go, but I'm not in a three-piece suit. The thing is, if that works, then do that. That doesn't work for me. I'm more comfortable, and people, I think, feed off of me being comfortable, because if I'm just comfortable, if I'm only having a conversation instead of having a sales pitch back and forth, I think that makes a huge difference. And I think that's what I'm doing now. I'm having conversations with people about their situation. And like the gentleman that you just mentioned about, he opened the door and let me in. He, on the way into the living room to the kitchen, he told me he wasn't writing an application. And I said, "Wow, okay. You know, who have you met with already?" And I won't go through the whole thing, I guess, but... The thing I told him was, "Look, my job is to come over and explain the benefits so that you understand how they fit into your situation, okay? Once they've done that and I give you the pricing options that are available before those benefits, then we either have to move forward and get you covered, or if not, I'll add you to my Christmas card list." And he said, "Cool." He was a young guy, 35. He's like, "Cool." I said, "Cool, well, let's sit down. Where's the wife?" Wife was supposedly taking a nap. And he and I did some talking without her, and I said, "Khalif, man, this would be a whole lot easier if your wife could listen to what I'm saying and everybody involved was able to make an educated decision." So he went up and got her. I guess he woke her up. She did look a little sleepy. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, we went through the whole program, went through all the pricing options for him, and at the very end, all I said was, "Khalif, there's only one thing left to do, man, and that's to move forward and write this up." And I said, "But I'm respecting what you told me in the beginning." And he said, "No, we need to do this." And I wound up writing. I only wrote him up. They weren't interested in covering her for some reason. But I walked out of there with $86 a month. So... You know,
That's the way it's done, folks. Let me open it up again. I've been sort of opening it back and forth to, for optimum hearing, but I'm going to open it back up and see if anybody has in particular any objection that you are curious how he might handle in the home. Is there anybody that wanted to bring up an objection?
Anybody still there?
Your mouth,
Bruno.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, this is Beth.
Hey, Beth.
I'm a sandbagger. Hey, listen, whenever I tell people that it's non-medical, and then that company comes back and they want to do a medical,
right,
and the people don't do a medical.
Right.
So if you're telling them, hey, you know, that's a great deal.
Yeah.
You don't want to take a medical, and then it comes back, the company wants one, then, you know, I've lost several deals because they won't take a medical.
Sure. Well, that, and that's a good question. The thing that I, and when I go through that first paragraph, I do use the wording that's in that paragraph because it says you may qualify for this plan without having to go with a physical. It doesn't say nothing about, it says nothing about guaranteed no medical exam involved. It says you may qualify, okay? And that's why I use those words. Folks, you may qualify to go through this plan without a physical. Okay? So, and you may need to, not that it's, I've had one happen that way, but you may, Beth, you may need to start elaborating that what you may qualify means. It means, you know, up front, yes, we're saying that this, you may not need to take a physical, but the company always does reserve the right to ask you to go through one, so that they can make a better decision.